As someone who represents the B of LGBTQ, I thought it would be interesting to share my experience of being a bisexual man in Ireland.
The man who saved Woodstock on the Rainbow Minute.
I do a very special show where I end nude from head to toe.
To all the politicians out there, if you take money from the NRA, you have chosen death. We choose life!
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappelle. Uruguay trans rights rollback defeated by apathy, bi youth denounces orientation erasure, and John Kelly conquers theater as a man for all media. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Sarah Sweeney.
And I'm Jessica Andrea.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending August 10th, 2019. Voters in Uruguay failed to show up in sufficient numbers for a ballot-initiated rollback of transgender rights. The proposal required the support of at least 25% of all eligible voters. Less than 10% cared enough to participate on August 5th. Conservative forces were trying to overturn laws passed last year. Those laws made it easier for trans people to change the gender designation on their government documents without medical intervention. They also guaranteed access to health care, housing, and a number of other benefits. Conservative opposition Congressman Carlos Ayafiliola sponsored the referendum. He claimed that the new laws would allow minors to undergo hormone treatment without parental approval. The Uruguayan Medical Union quickly rebutted that charge in a statement saying that, in no case have these interventions been practiced in children. Federico Grana is a queer activist now serving as the National Director of Sociocultural Promotion for the Uruguayan Ministry of Social Development. Grana told Reuters that the laws do allow transgender adolescents to undergo limited hormonal treatment without parental consent. That right applies especially to those who have left home and only after a state-appointed guardian secures legal approval on the child's behalf. Grana applauded the vast majority of voters for staying away from the polls. He said that voters did not want to express support for a referendum that would take rights away. Grana thinks that it sends a message of great respect. The Uruguayan advocacy group La Trans Ya told Montevideo.com that citizens had demonstrated that human rights are not subject to plebiscite. Uruguay is considered to be one of the more queer progressive countries in South America. It's had marriage equality since 2013, and gay people can serve openly in its armed forces. However, transgender people face routine discrimination and violence. According to the Uruguayan Medical Union, trans people have a life expectancy of just 35 years.
Out-gay Republic of Ireland Prime Minister Leo Varadkar made an unannounced visit to Northern Ireland to march in Belfast's annual LGBTQ Pride Parade on August 3rd. Varadkar told the crowd, "What we see in Belfast is Northern Ireland at its very best, open, inclusive, diverse, and for everyone." It was the Prime Minister's second visit to Belfast Pride since he took office. Varadkar tweeted that he also spent some time before the march to talk about the future with Sarah Canning, the partner of murdered journalist Lyra McKee. According to Pink News, the couple was about to get engaged before McKee was shot dead at a Belfast political rally in April. The British Parliament is forcing marriage equality on Northern Ireland by January 2020 if lawmakers in the region's assembly fail to do it themselves. Northern Ireland has had an essentially dysfunctional government since 2016, when power-sharing talks broke down between the ruling Democratic Unionist Party and the leading opposition party, Sinn Féin.
Coca-Cola used to bill itself as the pause that refreshes, but the pause the soft drink is giving Hungarian MP István Boldog has done anything but. An ad campaign for the popular Coke Zero has led the ruling conservative right-wing Fidesz party member to call for a boycott of all Coca-Cola products. The Love is Love ads feature images of same-gender couples hugging and kissing with the caption, "Zero Sugar, Zero Prejudice." There's an online petition to support Bulldog's Coke boycott and to remove the ads from the Budapest subway system. The petition has thus far gathered more than 30,000 signatures. Tomas Dumbos of the queer advocacy group Hatter told a number of news outlets that the ruling party could be testing people's reaction to the pro-queer campaign. Dumbos explains that the government builds all of its propaganda on conflict, and they need enemies. After the EU, migrants, NGOs, and even the homeless, now it may be LGBTQ people. A statement issued by Coca-Cola defended the ad campaign. In it, the company stressed its corporate culture of diversity, inclusion, and equality. They said, "We believe everyone has the right to love the person they choose. The campaign currently running in Hungary reflects these values." A spokesperson said that the company has not seen any significant change in Coca-Cola sales in Hungary, at least not so far.
A Sydney, Australia city councillor has been fined $2,500 for homosexual vilification by the State of New South Wales Civil and Administrative Tribunal. Julie Possis demanded that neighbour Daniel Comensoli take down the rainbow flag he was displaying following the victorious marriage equality vote in November 2017. Possis harangued Comensoli because she said the flag was offensive to my culture and religion. She shouted that the man should not be able to marry until you could breastfeed and have children. Possis was also accused of saying that the flag was as offensive as the flag of ISIS, but later called that an analogy. The tribunal heard testimony that the verbal harassment continued for several days until Comensoli called the police to file the official complaint. Possis cited local restrictions that prohibited hanging flags from balconies, but admitted that she found the flag to be personally offensive. Comensoli had sought $10,000 in damages from Possis, but was awarded only a quarter of that amount. However, the tribunal ordered Possis to issue a statement in the local newspaper describing the marriage equality vote as an historic day and apologizing for publicly yelling abuse at Mr. Comensoli. Comensoli has moved.
A far-right Christian fundamentalist in the U.S. state of Iowa has only been fined $65 for publicly burning four queer-supportive children's and young adult books. 63-year-old Paul Dorr of the group Rescue the Perishing had checked the books out from the Orange City Public Library. Dorr posted a video on social media in October 2018 that showed him burning the books while spewing homophobic comments. He said he was protesting a local LGBTQ pride event. Dorr was convicted this week in Sioux County District Court of fifth-degree criminal mischief. $65 was the lowest possible fine for the offense. The state of Iowa had sought the maximum penalty of $625. Dorr was also ordered to pay a 35% surcharge and court costs. In his defense, Dorr told the court that he wanted to protect the children of Orange City from being seduced into a life of sin and misery. Rita Bettis Austin of the ACLU of Iowa said this was about the destruction of library property, not free speech. Austin said, "Burning public library books is the destruction of ideas, and that's reprehensible. No one person or even group should decide that they are the gatekeepers of ideas for the rest of the public." In the weeks following Dorr's book-burning video, the Orange City Public Library received more than $3,700 in cash donations and almost 1,000 book donations, including replacements for the four titles Dorr had burned. The library kept about 50 of those books and sold or returned the others.
What causes massacres like the recent mass shootings in Dayton, Ohio and El Paso, Texas? An Ohio state lawmaker whose district is near Dayton has topped the incredulity charts with her theories. Republican State Representative Candace Keller's now-deleted Facebook diatribe blamed such violence on the breakdown of the traditional American family, thank you, transgender homosexual marriage, and drag queen advocates. Keller also blamed violent video games, recreational marijuana use, former President Barack Obama, and open borders. Snowflakes, who do not respect President Trump, were on Keller's guilty list, too. Keller has so far resisted calls to resign, including one from Ohio Republican Party Chair Jane Temkin. Keller has already survived equating Planned Parenthood to Nazis and promoting white supremacist views on a radio show as she defended a proposed ban on sanctuary cities. Dayton Mayor Nan Whaley said on Twitter that she doesn't often agree with Republican State Chair Temkin, but joined the resignation chorus. Whaley added that, "No matter where you're from, who you love, or what you look like, you're welcome in Dayton."
And finally, blatantly anti-queer U.S. Vice President Mike Pence and his family are well known for hiding behind their religious convictions to support discrimination against LGBTQ people. Mr. Pence made the rounds of right-wing hate groups in early August to support his personal bias. One event he attended was an Atlanta, Georgia conference organized by conservative evangelical blogger and radio host Eric Erickson. Another event was sponsored by the Alliance Defending Freedom, a far-right so-called Christian organization that fights LGBTQ and women's rights in the courts. The vice president urged that gathering to spend more time on your knees than on the internet. We're pretty sure Pence meant on your knees in prayer, but unfortunately, on your knees is a long-standing gay euphemism for oral sex. Needless to say, Twitter lit up with comments about Pence's cluelessness.
That's NewsWrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending August 10th, 2019. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to NewsWrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out radio YouTube channel. For This Way Out, I'm Sarah Sweeney.
And I'm Jessica Andrea.
Tell me if you can, what makes a man a man?
Find out what makes that man's one-man touring show a hit later in the program.
I don't know how, I don't know why, but I like ladies and I like guys. If not a phase, I'm not confused, not indecisive, I don't have the gotta choose blues. I don't care if you wear high heels or a tie, you might just catch my eye because I'm definitely bi.
Imagine the letters LGBTQ on a bright neon sign with the B flickering on and off. Outcasting Overtime, formerly called Outcasting Off Air, considers mistaken ideas about bisexuality.
Hi, I'm Brianna, a youth participant at Outcasting's main studio in Westchester County, New York. On this edition, Outcaster Mark discusses his experiences with bisexual erasure in his hometown of Dublin, Ireland.
I was having coffee with my then-girlfriend in Dublin last year, and she seemed distracted by someone she had spotted in the corner of the cafe. It turned out that he was a very handsome man she had once dated, and the relationship had ended on really bad terms. I sensed that she was hoping I would say, "I'm sure he never deserved you in the first place." But what I actually said was, "Oh my God, I went out with him too. He's horrible." She told me later, when we were breaking up, that it was as if she was talking to her gay best friend instead of her boyfriend. I come from Ireland, which is still a very conservative country regarding LGBTQ issues. As someone who represents the B of LGBTQ, I thought it would be interesting to share my experience of being a bisexual man in Ireland. The LGBTQ community has made some serious progress over the past 20 years, and same-sex marriage was even legalised by popular vote there in 2013. However, bisexuality remains controversial. I, myself, have been in many situations where heterosexual people took issue with my bisexuality. My experience with this has mostly taken place in my love life, which has unfortunately resulted in very short-lived relationships with women. The more open I try to be about being bi with the girlfriend, the more she is convinced I'm in transition from straight to gay. This is frustrating, and it's happened multiple times in my life. Women I've dated have feared that I will not be able to commit to monogamy in the future. This is because they think I will always lust for a sexual experience with a man on the side. Every single one of my heterosexual relationships has ended this way, and I am always left dumbfounded. To me, these breakups are traumatic. I find myself doubting my own sexuality. Is there a possibility that I would leave a woman because of my desire for men? The answer is that I don't know. I've never had the chance to find out. Now that I'm in America, I've had the opportunity to pause and reflect on my Irish upbringing. In the 90s, same-sex attraction was heavily discouraged and you would be pushed towards heterosexuality. Now that homosexuality is more accepted, I find that people are trying to push me from bisexual to homosexual. Either way, they don't consider bisexuality to be an option. While it's true that some people call themselves bisexual as a bridge to eventually coming out as gay, bisexuality is a real thing. It is important to me that my friends recognise that I am as much a member of the LGBTQ community as my gay, lesbian and transgender friends.
Thanks for listening to Outcasting Off Air, a special feature from Outcasting, Public Radio's LGBTQ youth program. Outcasting is heard online at outcastingmedia.org, on iTunes, and on more than 45 public radio stations around the country. Outcasting Off Air is a production of Media for the Public Good, a nonprofit organization. Visit us at outcastingmedia.org to get information about Outcasting, watch Outcasting videos, access our social media links, and listen to the show. Thanks, and thanks for listening.
50 years ago this week,
I came upon a child of God. He was walking along the road, and I asked him, "Where are you going?" And this he told me, "I'm going on down to Yasger's farm. I'm gonna join in."
If you missed the queer connection to history's greatest music festival in the movie Saving Woodstock, here's the Rainbow Minute version.
The man who saved Woodstock and beyond. Coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. Who would have thought a semi-closeted gay interior designer from New York City would step forward and save Woodstock? His name was Elliot Tiber. Woodstock was billed as an Aquarian exposition, 3 days of peace and music, but almost didn't get off the ground. It was July of 1969, less than a month after the Stonewall riots. Elliot heard that the Woodstock concert promoters had lost their permit to hold the show in Wallkill, New York. That wasn't far from Bethel, where Elliot spent his weekends helping his parents run a shabby hotel. As president of the Bethel Chamber of Commerce, Elliot was in the business of issuing permits. He offered to hold the show on his parents' property, but the Woodstock crew said it was too small. Then Elliot got an idea. His local dairy farmer, Max Yasger, had a 600-acre farm, naturally shaped like an amphitheater. Woodstock was held August 15th to 18th, 1969. It drew 500,000 people, making it arguably the largest music festival ever. With performing icons like Janis Joplin, Jefferson Airplane, and Jimi Hendrix, its lineup was one of the most legendary in music history. After Woodstock, Elliot Tiber made his way to Europe, where he became a successful television comedian, writer of plays and musicals, and as he put it, a happy gay man who found love. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns at WRAR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Kelly Norse.
Hey everybody, this is Leah Delaria, and you are listening to This Way Out.
Entertainment correspondent John Dyer V took in a recent Red Cat production in Los Angeles featuring one man and many, many media.
In the touring one-man show, Time No Line, we witness veteran performance artist John Kelly utilizing multiple media, spoken word and song, movement and dance, drag performance, personal journals, drawing and painting, and film and digital video, to convey a moving memoir of his decades of creative output, political action, and cultural commentary. By employing such a variety of artistic tools, one is never quite sure where the show is heading, which makes for a stark and exciting theater. The show opens with a projected collage of Kelly's vast collection of personal diaries. Kelly credits these journals as his favorite way to capture and express random thoughts, production ideas, and odd or interesting people or things encountered during the day. The artist enters, pulling a huge, long red rope behind him. He sits at a desk and begins to talk about his journals, his life, and his career. Starting at 17 with an auspicious, if belated, entry into the study of classical ballet, then to the heady world of the Parsons School of Design, the best word to describe Kelly and his oeuvre is eclectic.
I do a very special show where I am nude from head to toe. After strip-teasing, each night the men look so surprised. I change my sex before their eyes. Tell me if you can, what makes a man a man?
We learn how he came to embrace drag performance after falling under the spell of opera diva Maria Callas. We hear of other seminal influences on his wide-ranging artistic expression, from 1970s drag theater collective The Coquettes to pioneering folk musician Joni Mitchell to avant-garde artist, filmmaker, writer Jean Cocteau. We also learn how the AIDS epidemic, and specifically losing his boyfriend to the disease in 1982, brought a sense of striving, loss, and mortality to his artistic expression. Alternating narrative viewpoints add to the many layers of trenchant and thoughtful discourse, history, and observation. At a later point, Kelly sits on stage, singing an operatic duet with his decades younger self on screen behind him. His vocal prowess is essentially the exact same as that of his younger doppelganger. Title, Time No Line, is never explicitly addressed, but its elliptical structure and rhythm suggest multiple interpretations. Time moving but not in a straight line? There is no one line to fully capture the time in one's life? Or perhaps a timeline is circular and therefore has no end? All of these ideas and more are courageously explored in this thoughtful, honest, and incredibly personal journey of a production. In the final sequence, more journal entries detailing the loss of Kelly's friends to AIDS are projected, as well as documentation of his own HIV-positive diagnosis. At the same time, Kelly is on the stage floor, drawing with white and red chalk, using both hands. As various shapes are revealed, we come to see he is creating a human figure in all of its simplicity, glory, and profundity. This man is far from being done telling his story. To find the complete performance schedule of all of John Kelly's shows, you can go online to johnkellyperformance.org. For This Way Out, I'm John Dyer V.
As Amnesty International warns travelers that they might be targeted by gun violence in the U.S. depending on their identity, a Las Vegas man is arrested while planning to attack synagogues and queer venues. The transgender brother of the shooter in the recent Dayton, Ohio massacre is among the dead. LGBTQ asylum seekers languish in U.S. detention centers while Latinx patrons of an El Paso, Texas Walmart are murdered in cold blood. It's been more than a year since the mass shooting at Parkland, Florida's Marjory Stoneman Douglas High that prompted Alex Wind and his schoolmates to organize a huge March for Our Lives rally in Washington, D.C. Let's recall Alex's words today as gun control bills passed in the House continue to be blocked by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, and hear the rally crowd's challenge put to music by beloved country western singer-songwriter Willie Nelson.
For too long, our government has been useless on this issue. Our job as their constituents is to make sure we know what they're thinking. There are over 250 representatives that have not come out with a public stance on this issue. It is our job to make sure that we call them up and force them out of the shadows of corruption and into the light of justice. Now, we need to come together on all fronts and push aside those that divide us. Now we need to get on the phone and call our representatives and push them to stop incumbency and take action. Now we need to educate ourselves on which politicians are truly working for the people and which ones we want to vote out.
It is not about your race. It is not about your sexual orientation. It is not about your ethnicity. It is not about your gender. It is not about where you live or how much money you make. And it most certainly is not about political party. All it comes down to is life or death. To all the politicians out there, if you take money from the NRA, you have chosen death. If you have not expressed to your constituents a public stance on this issue, you have chosen death. If you do not stand with us by saying we need to pass common sense gun legislation, you have chosen death. And none of the millions of people marching in this country today will stop until they see those against us out of office, because we choose life.
Who's in there? Vote them out. That's what election day is all about. The biggest gun we got is called the ballot box. So if you don't like who's in there, vote them out. Vote them out.
Vote them out.
Vote them out.
Vote them out.
And when they're gone, we'll sing and dance and shout. They bring some new ones in. We'll start that show again. And if you don't like who's in there, vote them out. If it's a bunch of clowns you voted in, election day is coming round again. If you don't like it now, if it's more than you'll allow, if you don't like who's in there, vote them out. Vote them out.
Vote them out.
Vote them out.
Vote them out.
And when they're gone, we'll sing and dance and shout. Bring some new ones in, and we'll start the show again. If you don't like who's in there, vote them out. Vote them out.
Vote them out.
Vote them out.
Vote them out.
That's what election day is all about. The biggest gun we've got is called the ballot box. So if you don't like who's in there, vote them out. If you don't like who's in there, we'll vote them out.
Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Sarah Sweeney and Jessica Andrea, produced by Brian DeShazer, from Outcaster Mark, produced by Mark Sophos, from Kelly Norris, produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns, and from John Dyer V. Joni Mitchell performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, Christopher Matthews, Richard Merck, and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley, and all of the listener donors who make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on Gay SA Radio Pretoria, South Africa, Radio Phoenix, Phoenix, Arizona, WEFT Champaign, Urbana, Illinois, and a vast array of community radio stations and other outlets around the world, including this one. Now y'all stay tuned.